Let's pray.
Father, thank you for this time this morning. Please open our eyes. Speak through all of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Time. Time is our greatest enemy, right?
Time?
Yeah. That was a joke. It's from the movie Top Gun Maverick. But it relates to time, how we use our time. I mentioned last week, he says, your time is always opportune. Jesus is saying that to his brothers, and that's where we left off. And I said, what does that mean to me? The word opportune means what? Well, it means it's basically, it's ready.
Season.
Yeah. It's what he's saying to his brothers in the light of their aching him to go down to Jerusalem is, really, they're saying, you have no sense of timing, okay, in relation to God's timing. Your time, because you are wasting the time given to you, and you're living your life on your own. You're your own king, and you use the times you see fit. It was irrelevant. It says, every day, he's basically saying, matters in my life. Every hour is determined by God. And these are incredibly convicting things to hear. But for you, it doesn't matter. As long as you remain an unbeliever, you have one appointment with God, and that is death. The rest of your time, you are on your own. It isn't that God doesn't order the provinces of your behavior in your life. It's just that it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to God's plan, God's purposes, God's will. You're not operating in the kingdom on kingdom time. And it marks us in terms of how we use our time. And Jesus always, his time was God's time. Now, because of that, in John chapter 7, verse 7, he says, the world cannot hate you. And why would he say to his brothers, the world cannot hate you?
Because
they're of the world, yeah. They fit into this world. They are not a threat. But the world hates Jesus. And why does it hate him? Well, because, not because of his works, miracles, because he testifies of it, that his deeds, that its deeds are evil. Again, his words. But he is saying, remember when they were about ready to crucify him, he's before the judges and before the elders and so on, and it's like, you did this and we're going to punish you for that. No, it was, you claim to be God, his words. So, and his words bring, the Jesus, they bring hatred, division, and eventually his death, but not his works. And Jesus is on a divine timetable, and you will not accompany them.
Say that again.
Jesus is on a divine timetable, and you and will not accompany them. How can you, this is not in the notes, how can you also be on a divine timetable? What must you do to be on a divine timetable?
Be in Christ as in the Spirit.
Be in the Word.
Pray.
Be in the Word.
Be in the Word.
Obey. Share the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I would say that you can pray, give God that time, and then go and live your own life the rest of the day, right? It's like you read your Bible, you do all that. I would say that the best thing that you can do would be to practice the presence of God.
Watch movie?
No.
No, I know. Father.
Brother.
Brother.
Yeah.
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Practice.
The discipline of spiritual awareness. That ties into availability, and that's hard. So just pick on me. I'm going grocery shopping. The fact I'm going grocery shopping means I'm already going to be in a foul mood.
You have to drive there.
Yeah. So I have to go in the store and I have to, you know, because my time's so valuable, I have to go get a cart and have to push it. And of course, who's in the way of me?
Some little old lady.
Mainly, if I go in the morning, it's the older people are there. Which I get immediately convicted because I'm pastoring a church with many older people, and so but I'm like, get out of my way. This is my aisle.
Where do you shop and what time
do you eat there? I don't. Erica does it now, and so if I do it, I order it and pick it up. Anyways, so I'm doing that. If I'm so focused, because I'm not shopping, I'm hunting.
You're hunting.
Getting stuff in and out, right? And I'm constantly tired because I'm having to confess my sins, Christ's spiritual life, because everybody is in my way. All right? So I'm shopping, that's happening. Okay? Now, whose time schedule am I on?
Yours.
Well, what if there's somebody in there that is hurting, that is searching for Jesus?
You might not even notice.
And I wouldn't notice, would I? I would see them as what?
In the way.
In my way. Right? And you're laughing because this is a lot of you. We do the same thing. But how available are we to get outside of ourselves and just submit that time to Him? So, He was always available to God. He's on a divine timetable. Verse 9, and having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. He knew his brothers, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up and publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? And there was much grumbling among the multitudes concerning him. Some were saying, he is a good man. Others saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the multitude astray. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now verse 9 says, he stayed in Galilee, but not for long. How long would he have stayed there with him? Just for a few days. But why would he stay there? Well, if you want to find out, it just wasn't the right time. But all of a sudden, verse 10, it was the right time. When his brothers had gone up to the feast, because everyone goes up to Jerusalem because it's so high, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as if in secret. Publicly means he did not travel with his family and friends by way of a caravan. Just like the same caravan that he went to when he was 12 years old. Okay? And they would have been looking for him in a caravan. Okay? And who else would have followed him in a caravan? And who else?
The Pharisees.
Crowds. The crowds would have. Okay. And so it would have been easy to spot, and they probably would have tried to take his life right then and there. But he had to wait and offer himself up at the appropriate time. Okay? And so what he does is very wise, and this is what we can learn from this when we're operating God's timetable. He did something very unusual. He did what they would not do. He went through Samaria, according to Luke chapter 9. Okay?
It's in Luke.
Luke chapter 9. And when they would go around Samaria, because obviously the Jews were hostile to Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds. If you set foot in Samaria, you were considered unclean and you had to shake the dust off your feet. So, but
so
he went
Luke
right.
Luke chapter 9 is happening at the same time.
Luke
John
chapter
7 is happening.
Yeah. Luke chapter 9 through 19 is when Jesus, both of these are there. But Jesus went right through it according to Luke 9, 51 to 62. Let me go ahead and read that. It says, and it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension, that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. I always like to remember that verse. He resolutely. Why does he use that word resolutely?
Because it was what he's going to go through and how hard it's going to be.
If you knew when and where and how you were going to die, how would you respond? It's a choice, it's a willful choice.
There's one translation that says he set his face as flint.
Yep, it was a choice. And he sent messengers ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. And what village would they probably have gone to, perhaps?
52.
In Samaria, what village would they have gone?
Well, maybe where the woman of the well was.
The village of Sychar. And they did not receive him because he was journeying with his face toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, and this is me, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?
Should I write Chris in there?
Yes. Lord, get these stupid people in these cars. Just come down and consume the fire so I can, don't have to stop. Just do all of that, okay?
Such a soft, nice person.
Right. Well, at least I don't run on my window and yell at people to get off their phones like certain blondes do in this church.
That was to protect others.
Right.
I just called out a fire from heaven. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village, and as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my Father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere in the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So when you know this in Luke 9 fits in with John chapter 7 in this trip to Jerusalem for Passover, and this is not the Passover. The next one, 6 months later, is the final Passover where he dies. But you understand now why he said these words in verses 57 through 62. He was obediently going to his death, following the will of his Father. And when you understand this, then you understand that there is no such thing as cheap grace. There is no such thing as easy believism. There's no such thing as, soft discipleship. This is radical, true discipleship. So when these people put these conditions on following them, because that's the point, I'll follow you, but, and we do that, don't we? No wonder he answers them with such exacting demands. And if you are not above the teacher, and the teacher is going to give his life, and you're going to ask me for these conditions to follow me? No. Expect what happens to me to happen to you. Because what? Disciple is not above teacher. But why go through Samaria? That would give him more secrecy because he wouldn't be going in the crowds that were flowing to Jerusalem. So he did come down, but on a path they couldn't find him. And Jews were seeking him at the feast. Why? Because all men had to be there. They knew he would be there. He always had been there. That was his custom. And they knew that wherever he was, there were huge crowds. How else would they know? Just out of curiosity, if you can pick this up. How else would you know? You're a Pharisee, you want to kill Jesus. How could you spot him? Other than if you knew how he looked like and you knew the crowds, how else could you spot him? Anybody take a guess?
Would he still be doing miracles? Would he still be healing?
Well, they would know that part, but they knew he was a Galilean. What does that mean?
His speech.
His dialect.
Hillbilly. His dialect. That accent.
Oh.
Okay. That's why the Pharisees from Jerusalem could talk to people and realize, well, you're a Galilean, what do you know? You know.
Okay,
like with somebody from the south comes up here and you sound like you're from Louisiana. Yeah, bring her into that.
The Appalachian West Virginia accent crept into southeastern Ohio with the locals there. It stopped when you get mid-state Ohio, but you can definitely tell the word choice, and there was a little twang to it.
People from like Rhode Island.
Yeah.
New York.
I worked with somebody from Rhode Island, and
like Ron.
Yeah.
Like Ron from the Boston area.
Boston.
Yeah. Call me Carol. That's what my mother called me, but she was, Pennsylvania. So.
What accent do we have?
I was trying to say that is there like an Ian Paul Auburn, but Ian Paul people speak like Auburn people. And so I don't have the backwards Buckley people. That's such a bad accent. Those low IQ people over there.
We're a transplant.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know. Everyone speaks the same here. Texas, it was interesting. I moved from Louisiana to Texas. I thought there'd be that Texas slang, Texas drawl. Houston knows all the same.
Yeah.
Mm. West Texas, they got that language and that twang for sure.
Like Judd.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't think we have an accent because we're from here, but if we went someplace else,
hard
ours.
We think we're.
Yeah, who says Washington? We get that.
My mom.
Yeah.
I grew up hearing it. She's from Tennessee.
Yeah, it's Midwest.
I was hitchhiking for a while, met up with a fellow who had a southern accent. We got to talking about the accents. I go, well, what kind of accent do I have? He goes, you don't have one. What? You guys just speak.
Yeah. There's a unique accent amongst the Cajun. I've lived down here.
Yeah.
They're different.
They're hard to understand.
Yeah.
Marvels in the mouth.
So, anyways, they were saying, where is he? These Pharisees, this religious leadership, they're looking for him. The Jews. Where is he? They would not find him, even though he was the topic of whispers. Now, this is, if you're going to trust God and his sovereignty, it doesn't mean then, well, God's going to protect me no matter what. I will go down in the crowd of people and everything. You don't do that. You have your part that you play, and you trust in God's sovereign part as well. And so people are talking about him. And some are saying he's a good man, and others are saying, no, on the contrary, he's a deceiver. Verse 13, though, says no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. And that's how much power the Jews, when I say Jews, I'm referring to Jewish leadership, had in that legalistic apostasy Judaistic system. I mean, that's the power of false religion. Okay. Yes, it is cold in here. Is there some reason why the heat is not?
Yeah, it's cold during prayer meeting too.
Really? Yeah, I'm freezing.
Are you sure about
it? Yeah, is it even on?
Should be on. Yeah, it's on. It's just not on.
It's because you shaved in cold water.
I didn't. I had to heat up the water and would dump it over my head and shave everything.
I don't know where you usually put it, but I'll push it up a little bit.
It's the coldest 50 degrees today, I think, so it's supposed to be high today. We had dead for like 45 this morning. I was like, man, it's cold.
I know.
It's because it's wet.
Anyways, people were afraid to give an opinion. But you see how effective they were. Some called them deceivers. There's nothing to deceive people. But that was the lies that they spread. That's the narrative. There are, let's say, 40% of the country that believes ICE agents should be killed based upon the narrative pushed off by the mainstream media liberals because they won't look at the facts. They just blindly listen to CNN, ABC, whatever it is. Okay, and they'll say that that one ICE agent killed that woman.
Yeah.
And he didn't kill her, he protected himself. And she broke the law, and she faced a ton of problems. He won't face 1 ounce of justice because he didn't commit a crime. People won't like that. And so that's just the power of a false narrative that is pushed, that they pushed on the people, the Jewish leaders did. He's a deceiver. He did nothing to deceive anybody. All he did was kind acts and spoke the truth.
It's
didn't the Jews have control over, I mean, couldn't they
excommunicate
you, lose your job, lose your means of taking care of your family? I mean, they had a huge threat over their heads.
They all knew that they wanted Jesus dead too, so they're afraid to say anything. So he comes down privately, secretly, kind of sneaking his way through Samaria. And he's in Judea. And again, the map helps. This is Jerusalem. Here's Israel. This is Galilee. And over here is going to be the Sea of Galilee. Okay. And you go down this way, and then Samaria. And then down here is Judea. And up on the mountain there is Jerusalem. So he's going all the way down past Jerusalem, up on the mountain, all the way down to Judea. And then he goes up to Jerusalem. Okay. So he's in Judea, which is where Jerusalem is located, but that's actually south of that. And between the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover Feast, where he will present himself and be crucified. That's why it says he gave himself up. He gave himself up over to death. He gave himself up to them because it was God's timing. Now, in those intervening months, this trip from Galilee down to Judea, well, to Jerusalem, Judea, it's a month surpassing by, and he ministers in Judea, and that's what's recorded in Luke chapter 9 through 19. Okay? He's down in Judea and ministering. This makes sense, because what happens after Luke chapter 19? Which is what? What begins then?
I
want
to read it.
How many chapters are there in Luke?
I don't know, that's what I said.
About 28? He's Jerusalem, the last week of his life, and his death, and resurrection. That's all it is. There's no many chapters left. Okay.
Did you say Luke 19?
Yeah. Yes, 9 through 19 is the ministry in Judea, and after that,
okay,
Luke 21, I believe, is the his teaching on eschatology, right? Yeah, all that stuff. So he's going to go, we know from John, he's going to go in Bethany, last week of his life, stay with who?
Mary, Martha, and Lazarus.
Mm-hmm. And it's about a mile, and it's at the base of the mountain, right? He would go down and back up to Jerusalem. You know, those days, there's 3 or 4 days before Thursday, what happens? Monday, Thursday, he's taken in, you know, and then Friday, he's trial and crucifixion, and then Sunday, he's raised. So, yeah, that's what's going on in Luke 9 through 19, and then the rest of Luke is the last week of his life. But he refused to go to Jerusalem. He stayed in the villages, the towns, and the small places of Judea. That's where he ministers. If he went up to Jerusalem, he'd be killed. And so again, I just want to remind everybody that he is operating on a divine schedule. His use of time is flawless. And there are lessons that we can learn about how we use our time. But nothing in Jesus' life is random. Everything is according exactly to God's eternal purpose. And that is another, it's not mentioned much, but that is one of the great evidences of his deity. And this again proves him to be the Son of God. Verse 14. But when it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple. Where is he now?
Jerusalem.
And temples, again, it's up on a mountain, so he just went up into the temple and began to teach. And once again, as a reminder, Jesus leaves Galilee after 7 quiet months of training with the 12. So we think it was about 7 months from when he left Capernaum, went to Tyre and Sidon, did the whole circular loop. Remember we did that stuff? Feeding the 4,000. We talked about that last Sunday. Okay. And now he's heading down to Judea in Jerusalem. Okay. And he'll stay in Judea and then eventually go back up into Jerusalem to his death.
Is Jerusalem in Judea?
Yeah.
It's just a window.
And so, in the midst of the feast, he goes to Jerusalem and he begins to teach. And he didn't go when everybody went to the Feast of Tabernacles. He waited until the middle of the week, we think it was about 3 days that he went, came down from Galilee into Judea and Jerusalem. Because he knew the rulers wanted to kill him, so he waits until midweek and then he goes. And when everything is settled in, and the people are there, and they've probably stopped looking for him as diligently as they did in the very beginning, that's when he arrives. And in the midst of the crowds, now guess what? He shows up, he's going to draw a crowd, and it's going to be much harder to arrest him. So, when they zig, he's at it. Does that make sense? So, at the right moment, he walks into the temple. The time is 29 AD. And if you want to calculate the calendar, this would be around October 15th. And what is remarkable is he goes willingly to face intense persecution. He faces the world that hates him. He faces Jerusalem, where the leaders are already determined to execute him. Puts his life on the line. And right then and there, this should remind you as well, you are to deal with conflict. Even if sometimes initiate conflict, it's uncomfortable. If it's the will of the Lord, then you initiate, you go through it. You cannot live your life avoiding conflict. The will of God is hard, walking in His will. And it's hard for the Son of God, it's going to be hard for us at times.
That's what it is.
By showing up in the middle of the week, this catches leaders off guard because they don't think He's there. They're neutralized by the crowd and the public exposure that Jesus already has. This is His time. His time is so precise that back in verse 6 of chapter 7, would go a few days earlier because he said, my time is not yet here. Or he wouldn't go a few days earlier because he said, my time is not yet here. Again, in verse 8, my time is not yet fully come. And when we're talking about time, we're not talking about epochs or long periods of time. We're talking about hours and days. That's how specifically he was on God's divine timetable. On that kind of schedule. So here he is in the temple, and he's teaching, and he's doing what rabbis did. They would go to the temple, find a location in the temple courtyard, and start school. And what is he going to be teaching? He's going to be teaching what he's always taught. Talk about the kingdom. Sin, righteousness, judgment, salvation, etc. And in the unfolding passage that we have in John chapter 7, and we'll just touch on part of it because we're running out of time. He provides five reasons to believe his claims. Okay? But I want to take a step back and refresh our memory, and let's see how we do as a group, of some of his claims. Because this is, you know, most of his claims are out there already, but there are a few that he hasn't quite made. But what are some of his claims? Because when you look at these claims, they're really outrageous. He was a man, Jesus, indistinguishable from any other Galilean man. He had a Galilean accent, most likely. His deity was completely invisible. But what was visible was his humanity. And there was no way to see him any different than you would see any other man. But men did not make the claims that he made. Now, what were some of his claims? Let's take a stab at some of these.
His Father is God.
His Father is God, okay.
He's God.
He's God. I can't hear you, what?
He spoke from him who sent him.
He spoke from God who sent him, okay.
Oh, before it, where Ben was, he is, or him.
Are you looking for the claims that he put on the Jews?
His claims?
On himself.
Claims he made about himself.
He's going to destroy the temple in 3 days.
Said I can give you living water.
Here are some. He claimed that he had come down from heaven. We got that one, right? This is what they wouldn't have known. He claimed that he had eternally existed. Okay? He claimed that he had been sent into the world by the Father. He claimed to be the Savior of the world and the only Savior of the world. He claimed to be the determiner of everyone's eternal destiny. You know, you can just listen, but I mean, there's a lot here. He claimed to be the source of everlasting life. He claimed to be the only way to God. He claimed to have the right to be honored and worshipped on an equal basis with the eternal God. Go to John chapter 5. What does he do? I only do what I see the Father do. Right? As I see, I judge. Talked about he claimed to be one with the Father. He did mention this. He claimed to have the power to give life. He raised the dead. In him was life. Life was light of man. Father draws. The Son gives life. Remember that? He claimed to be the one of whom the Old Testament Scripture spoke. He claimed to be the supreme judge of all men, and would one day judge them all at his return to glory. He claimed to be without sin. He claimed to have all authority in heaven and earth. He claimed to be able to forgive sins legitimately. He claimed to rule over the Sabbath. Remember that? The Sabbath is not made for... He claimed to have the right to answer prayer. He claimed to be greater than the temple, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, greater than Jacob, greater than Abraham. He claimed to have been alive before Abraham even was born. He claimed to be the only source of soul sustenance, the only bread that could feed the soul. He claimed to be the light of the world. Claimed to be the resurrection and the life. Claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah. Claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed that he had the privilege and one day would enter into that privilege of being seated at the right hand of God forever. And that's just some of the claims that he made. Now, you are a Pharisee, a religious leader. You're hearing these things and you're seeing him do these things. And this teaching is beyond anything you've ever heard. It's not contrary, it's completely biblical, but doesn't fit with the tradition of the elders. Other than that, they could never refute him. You're either going to have to bow to him or you're going to be completely afraid and threatened by him. So if I'm going to discredit him, I'm going to take what he claimed, and I can say a couple things. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. And the Lord wasn't an option for them. And in this crowd, he's addressing these types of people. Jewish leaders who judged him as a blasphemer. His claims were so inconceivable logically, they conclude he is a blasphemer because this level of blasphemy is beyond what any human being would do. No one made these claims. Nobody has in all of history. Therefore, he must be under the overwhelming influence of the ultimate blasphemer and deceiver, Satan himself. Number two, in the crowd were people who were more charitable than the leaders. And they would say, well, he's just crazy. He's insane. And number three, there were others, perhaps even more charitable. They would be the disciples who followed him for a while. But then as we saw in John chapter 6, they departed and left him. And they came to the conclusion, he's a false teacher. Blasphemer, crazy person, false teacher, and then the fourth group that's in the crowd, in this, my estimation, is the others that said, we have found the Christ.
Peter's confession.
Yeah. That is who he's addressing. So that was just, I thought it's good to go over some of these claims that he made, just to remind us of what he was saying. In verse 15, the Jews therefore marveling, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. And that's the first, we're going to stop here. That's the first reason why his claims are true. The divine source of his teaching. It's not mine. I didn't make this up. As I hear, I speak. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I teach. He has a divine source. He's not quoting other rabbis, as we'll get into that later next week. He's quoting the Old Testament scripture, he's quoting God. So, any questions?
I wish I could remember all of this.
Do you want this page then? All the claims? Questions? What did you learn today? I learned a pastor once caught on fire for having people in the grocery store that slow him down.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to post that on Facebook.
Yeah.
If everything is in his time.
Yeah.
God's time. Father's time. Isn't Ecclesiastes, he's made everything beautiful in his time?
Yeah. Time and season for everything, right? It was my time to have a cold shower this morning.
No.
That was awful.
And it was my time to have to. Oh my goodness. That's awful.
It's like,
whoosh.
It's not like it broke down in the summer when the water takes forever to cool down in our house. Now these pipes are so cold, it's just like, ouch. So.
Wow. Is there a fuse on there or something?
I think what happened is because we haven't serviced regularly, we haven't serviced back in November, I think that the igniter's not bad, and I can't think about that.
Is it run on natural gas?
Yeah. It's a tankless thing in the wall, and I can take it apart, there's videos to do it, and I've seen the guy do it, and I was like, if it's at this igniter, I have to have the special tool to do this, and now I forget it. I could spend hours trying to fix it at the time, but no. I don't have this tool, I don't have that.
I'm always afraid of natural gas.
Well, you can even turn off the flow to that and turn off and plug it, you're fine. But yeah, that's like, it'll be a $200, $300 bill just for the thing to come out. But if it's an igniter, then, yeah, I know where to order that part. We'll do that. Father, would you bless the rest of our day? And as we hear the Word of God preached, as we worship with our voices, prepare our hearts. Worship you appropriately in a manner that's pleasing to you. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.